Hello, hello. Okay, that's recording. Right, I want us to look at the body of Christ this morning. We've done so before. We've just finished looking at the Holy Spirit and His gifts, manifestations. And David brought us word last week as well. Breaking out. Again, going for it. I want to look at the body of Christ this morning, briefly, from two passages. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and Romans chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Romans chapter 12. So if we go to 1 Corinthians as the first one. The thing with the Word of God, according to that scripture up there, is it's supposed to change us, it's supposed to mature us, it's supposed to transform us. So here's the deal: when I'm listening to the Word of God, I'll either accept it. When I'm listening to a preach or a teach by somebody, I'll either accept it or reject it. Yeah? Accept or reject. That's the point, the main point they're trying to bring across. They may approach it in different ways, and I may not totally agree with some of the manners in which or supports they bring, but I'm always looking for a body of truth. What is the main point? What are the main points they're trying to bring? And I'll accept that or reject it. When I accept it, I'm saying I'm willing to live by that and to be changed by it. It'd be better to reject something outright than to accept it and not live by it. Accept it and not be willing to live by it. That would just be head knowledge, which is just as useless as rejecting it. So whenever we hear someone preaching, teaching, let's look for the points they're trying to make. And once you can grasp that point and you say, okay, I can accept that as truth, then you're also saying by implication, I can live by that. And it behooves us to live by it, to go away and do what that word says, or to adjust to the implications of that word. So, okay, listen to this. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's read from verse 12. For even as the body is one, and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. Let's just take it as we go along. The body is one. Speaking of our physical bodies now, some of this may be self-explanatory, so please, indulge me a little when I start talking about what appears self-explanatory. That's because I want us to be on the same page. Okay? The body is one, yet has many members. Our physical body is one. Right? But it has many members. We're made up of several parts. And all the members of the body, though they are one, are one body. Okay? That goes without saying. It's an obvious statement, but in this process here, it needed to be stated. Though you have many parts, you are still one person. Right? You're still one person. And then it says, so also is Christ. In the same way, so also is Christ. It has many parts, but it's just one. See, so when we talk about the body of Christ, we are really talking about one unit. Just like when I speak of David, I'm speaking of one unit. I'm not speaking of David's face. When I say David, the image I want you to have in your mind is not just David's face. When I talk about Toda, I'm not just talking about his feet. The image I want you to conjure up, and not his feet. It's Toda. It's one unit. So when we talk of Christ, this is the point I think this writer is making here, and so going to lens, sometimes quite obvious lens, to make the point. So when we talk about Christ, we're not just talking about Jesus, the risen one. We're talking about the unit Christ, which includes his body. Does that make sense, Will? So we're not just talking about the head when we talk about Christ. That's why he says, so also is Christ. Your body is made of many members, but it is one body. So also is Christ. So when we're talking of Christ, we're not just talking of the head, which is a member of the body. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Because when we talk about Sue, we're not just talking about Sue's head. We're talking of the whole body, everything. The head, the neck, the arms, everything. Okay? So this is trying to change our view, our mind, what's the word? The way we view Christ and the way we view ourselves in him. For by one Spirit, verse 13, we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. So when we say body of Christ, we're not just talking of one member, but many. He's going to emphasize that later as well. If the foot says, because I'm not a hand, I'm not a part of the body, it is not for this reason any the less a part of the body. That is, and it's going to repeat about the ear as well. If the ear says, I'm not an eye, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong, that doesn't make it not part of the body. So, listen, at this point, we'll say, it doesn't matter if you think you're part of the body or not, or how much of it you think you are, you are. You see, if you're either in Christ or you're not. You can't say you're in Christ, but I'm not really part of the body. You're either in or out. If you're in, no matter how you feel like on any one given day or any one given month or year, no matter what your experiences in church have been, you are a part of the body of Christ. Okay? Like it or not. Just like my ear is part of my body, like it or not. It's interesting, some of the language used here, because in the physical body, the members of that body don't actually think for themselves. I mean, it's a funny kind of talk here. I don't know if you've ever thought about it. I've thought, well, hang on. An eye never actually talks to an ear, does it? And say, because I'm not part of, I'm not, you know. However, the body of Christ is a peculiar kind of body. Although it is the same in so far as it has members and it's one unit, the different members can talk to each other. And they can disagree with one another. I suppose in some silly sense, our physical bodies do that sometimes, where body parts are rejected by the rest of the body, or cancer grows, or whatever else. But usually, people's bodies are just their bodies. The ear doesn't just fall off one day and say, I don't want to be part of you anymore. Okay. Verse 17, if the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense be? Of course, it's building up to something now. Verse 18, but now God has placed the members, each one of them in the body, just as he desired. Okay. So God stuck your ears to your head, not to your thigh, for a reason. Now, the deal is, if he had decided to stick your ears to your thighs, they would still have worked there just as well. And that's what we'll be used to today. So the idea is not for us to be thinking of what's right, what's wrong. The idea is that he's done it. and he's done it well. That's the point. Okay? God plays the members, each one of them, just as it's desired in the body. It is God that places members in the body. It is God that places members in the body of Christ as well. He's the one who decides where in the body each member goes. Okay? It is God who decides where in the body each member goes. I'll come back to that in a second. Verse 19, if they were all one member, where would the body be? Rhetorical question. There wouldn't be a body, would there? But now there are many members, but one body. Emphasis again. It said that three times already. Emphasize, if someone keeps saying the same thing over and over, and we trust that that person is not stupid, daft, or whatever, they're making a certain point that they think we may not get if they haven't said it this many times. So we need to give it attention. Why does it keep going on about there are many members but one body? Because it wants us to really get the point. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, or again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we deem less honorable, on these we bestow more abundant honor, and our less presentable members become much more presentable. I read that from the Amplified to you. And on this part of the body which we consider rather ignoble are the very parts which we invest with additional honor. And our unseemly parts and those unsuitable for exposure are treated with seemliness, modesty, and decorum. Our private parts. And pretty much everybody knows, well, has an idea of which parts of their body are private, especially private. Even when we go to the swimming pool or the beach, we still cover some private parts, except if you stumble on some funny beach, of course. There, they don't care at all. But most people care to cover something. And we give particular attention to some parts. That's why, for instance, we have underwear. Our underwear usually are not from head to toe. They cover those parts, and then we put more clothes on top of them. See, there's a point to that as well. They are necessary. Verse 24. Wherefore our more presentable members have no need of it, but God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to that member which lacked. That's why we honor those parts. And there are some other parts we don't even see, but they're much fragile. Your lungs, your kidneys, your heart, they are covered. God has not even trusted those ones to you to cover. He's covered them himself. If God trusted us to cover our lungs and hearts ourselves, we'll just be dying every day. So they're in there. They're very, very essential. We don't even think about them much until something goes wrong. Parts of the body. Verse 25. What is the point of how God has placed the different parts of the body in the areas that they are in? This is the point. So that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care one for another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now, you are Christ's body, and individually members of it. It makes the point, the final QED. He says, all I've been talking about so far has been physical bodies as an example. Now, you are Christ's body, And you are individual members of it, just like I've been talking about individual members of a physical body. It's, view it the same. View it the same. There are some people in church, generally, Church Universal, who would seem weaker than others, who would appear weaker than others, but actually they should be treated with more honor than those who appear stronger. In the same way that we cover those parts of our bodies we need to cover. We're supposed to cover these people, not expose them. Right? So in church, we're not in the business of exposing people. Weak people, whatever we consider weakness to be, mentally, emotionally, physically, financially, we don't expose people. That's why you won't find me going to be a witness against you anywhere. I won't be writing a book about you. We don't expose people in church. Anything we consider as weakness, we cover it. We try to make it good. Like we try to make parts of our body that we think are weak, good. If you get tennis elbow or something's wrong with that elbow there or knee there, you get a knee brace. You cover it. You strengthen it. You don't label it weak knee. And go around the whole place showing people my weak knee. No, you strengthen it. You try to walk well. That's what we do with weak things. We cover them. We strengthen them. We honor them. That's one lesson to learn about the body of Christ. Paul is saying to these guys, you need to honor, cover the weak members of the church. In covering them, in strengthening them, you honor them. It's okay. I'll have anybody in church. I'll have the drunkard. I'll have the gambler. I'll have the thief. I'll have the philanderer. You know what that means? People like multiple partners. Go from partner to partner to partner. Yeah? The Bible's name for them is fornicator. I'll have the fornicator. I'll have them. And we'll continue to strengthen them, to cover them. And by so doing, we honor them. So if you think I'm one of those people, what you should do is strengthen me and cover me. Not have a go at me. That's part of the point of this. So that, verse 25, there may be no division in the body. Let me read that from the Amplified. So that there should be no division or discord or lack of adaptation of the parts of the body to each other. Parts of the body adapt to each other. I don't know about you. Well, I know about at least one person. That's David. I watch him go up the stairs sometimes, and I can see his whole body adapting to the weak parts. Occasionally, my left knee plays up as well. But every part of my body adapts to it immediately, instinctively. Especially if I'm going up the stairs or I'm running cold or whatever, you know, you go like that and your arms stretch out immediately for balance. Your eyes are looking for something to hold on to or to stretch. Your other leg tenses, the strength comes into it to support and so on and so forth. I read the scripture and I note these things happening in me when they happen because I've read the scripture, not because I've been to science school. It's just, I think, wow, it's true. Actually, your whole body adapts. If you're losing your sight slightly, you're depending more on your touch and your hearing. In the same, if you're losing your hearing slightly, you depend more on your sight and your smell and all these other things. The whole body adapts around weak things. But you know what happens sometimes in modern church, or maybe it even happened in this old church? Perhaps that's why they've been told, they're being taught this. It makes sense that that's what's happening. churches tend to adapt around the strong people. Isn't that right, Margaret? I mean, churches tend to, it's the stronger guy, it's the superstar guy in church that everybody has to adapt around. Yeah? The man of God, the woman of God, the prophet, the great man that everybody adapts around them. But the Bible is saying we adapt around the weaker parts. That's why one of the reasons we have a ramp there and we have disabled things on the outside, because we want such people to come here. And if they came here and we were struggling for room, I would expect all of you to get up to adapt around that person. Not for them to adapt around you because they came late and you came so early and you've taken up the whole place. No, we adapt around weak people, the weak parts of the body. See that is, okay, adaptation. There should be no division or discord or lack of adaptation of the parts of the body to each other, but the members all alike should have a mutual interest in and care for one another. The members all alike should have a mutual interest in and care for one another. A mutual interest in one another and a mutual care for one another. Just like a physical body does. It's in your body's best interest to have a mutual care for itself, for the fingers to scratch where it itches. Or else, who's going to be uncomfortable? The whole of you. It's in my best interest, Will, to look after you, even if I don't approve of your lifestyle. Because if you fall out, I suffer. That's what it's saying. Verse 26. If one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Even if I don't like what my nose looks like, it's in my best interest to blow it when it's blocked up. Isn't that right, Tina? No comment on what you think of your nose, but I'm sure you appreciate the need to blow your nose and spit things out that don't belong in the back of your throat and whatever. It's in the body's whole best interest for each part to do what it's to do something for the body. It's in your best interest to look after me if you are in the body. And that's why I started with, you're either in or out. If you're in the body of Christ, and he's already told us in verse 13, by one Spirit we're all baptized into one body. You've been welded in. Only you know if you've been welded in, engrafted in. And you're either in or out. If you're in, like it or not, it's in your best interest to look after me. It's in my best interest to look after you. Because if I don't, we all suffer. And it's not a question of if I want to suffer or not, or if I choose not to associate with you, I won't suffer. No, this simply says, if one member suffers, all the members suffer. It's unequivocal. It's unambiguous. There's no sort of they might if they live in proximity to each other. Some of the stuff we're dealing with here may have been caused by some bloke in China. Because it's part of the body of Christ. You have been placed by God here. The Bible says earlier on, it is God that places the members in the body. He's the one who sees fit where each person belongs. So then, it's in our best interest to work in mutual care, mutual interest, and mutual harmony. And listen, it's also in your best interest to accept my care. And it's in my best interest to accept your care. Because some of the attitudes we've brought in from the world sometimes is looking after number one, and also not accepting favors or charity, as we call it. Oh, I can't accept that. Oh, I can't accept that. Or, you know, I'm okay. If I want to help you and you're okay. Of course, I can't force myself on you. But then if you then suffer as a result of not accepting help, you know what happens? I suffer too. Because the whole body suffers. Think of your physical body, if it's actually possible for it to behave in that way. And I suppose there's probably some medical condition somewhere that says that it's possible, where one arm is rejecting to go and do what the brain is saying it should do, and rejecting help from the, you know, one leg is rejecting help from the arm and whatever else. Yeah, let's call it a spasm. Or some sort of condition that prevents, you know, the body doing what it should be doing. Who suffers? The whole body suffers. Because it's going to fall over one day and bruise everything, knock itself out. It's like when somebody has a fit, truly, yes, son, you know, they are uncontrollable. They hurt and kill themselves, bite their tongues, and so on. We are not supposed to be like that. We're supposed to have Jesus as the head. And he doesn't have brain damage. Yeah, we are members, but he's the head. That I'm so secure in that. That is so secure in that he is not brain damaged. The messages he sends to the body are true and right. So if Jesus says scratch, he means scratch, you know? It's unlike corrupted messages in the epileptic brain, which everything goes haywire and before you know it, they're on the floor thrashing around. No, the church is not meant to be a thrashing around body. So God placed you here. God placed you in the part of the body that you're meant to be in. Remember, you are in or out. I believe you're in. Everyone in this room and some who are not here, they're in, first of all, in the body of Christ. Secondly, in the local body. Look at verse 27. It says, now you are Christ's body and individually members of it. Who is this speaking to? He wasn't speaking to the Ephesians, nor was he speaking to the Thessalonians. He was speaking to the church in Corinth. So on the one hand, he makes some universal propositions and universal conclusion about the body of Christ. But on the other hand, he directs it to a local body, to a specific fellowship of saints. So the body of Christ is both the universal body of Christ and also local expressions of the body of Christ. I don't have time to go too much into local expressions now, but they are in the New Testament. You meet people sometimes who say, oh, I'm just a part of the church universal. I just go from church to church and from fellowship to fellowship as the Lord leads and directs me. Usually I want to say it's not the Lord leading and directing you. It's your lack of discipline and commitment. You refuse to stay put in one relationship for longer than so long. Paul says, verse 27, now you, Corinthians, are the body of Christ. Just like I would say to us here today, you, Water Springs Fellowship, are the body of Christ. And hopefully Paul and Brenda are saying in Carnarvon too, you are the body of Christ to their church there. And Sower are saying to themselves, you are the body of Christ. That way, we see a macro expression of the body of Christ. A complete body in itself. It's like Transformers, where you know, you can have several complete bodies, but then when they come together, they make one big body as well. And there is still a head in that big body, and there are still arms and feet, but when they split up, they are still complete in themselves. Ah, what an example. I'm going to be using that from now on, Transformers. We are transformers.
I like that word as well, transform. Change.
Yes. We are supposed to be changing. So you see, you are in. You are the body of Christ. He calls the local church the body of Christ as much as he calls the universal church the body of Christ. The work of Christ gets done locally. The expression of Christ is localized through the relationships of particular bodies of the church. So we relate with that body and that body, and they relate with that and that, and that's the connections. And when it's all connected, we have the big universal body of Christ. All right? But the local church is as much the body of Christ as the universal churches. And therefore, you are a member. As in, you know, when we think of member, the use of member here is body part. Okay? Not membership as in certificates. You are a member of this church. As you might have noticed, we don't give certificates out here or any sort of documentation that says you're a member. You decide to be a member or not. And I'm not going to hold you to it per se. Well, I will in a sense. As in, I will relate with you, but the day you decide you're not a member anymore, at least we don't have to shred any certificates. You know? You are a body part here. You're a body part here. I'm a body part here. And for that reason, we must relate as body parts, adapt to each other, have mutual interest and care in one another. So the next time I ask about how is your family, it's because I actually care. And there is an element of selfishness there as well. What's that element? Because when I take care of you, I take care of me. When a member suffers, everyone suffers with it. If one is honored, all members rejoice with it. When you're doing well, I'm doing well. When I'm doing well, you're doing well. So when I inquire about your welfare, A, I care for you. B, I care for me. And when you do the same, it's the same. That's how the body is going to be nourished and fed and grow together. Sorry.
Will you fulfill like benefits physically?
I expect so. As in, will I immediately feel it? Yes, I think so. Because we are physical beings and we comprise the body of Christ. So whatever benefits are coming to us will also affect our physical beings as well as spiritual and emotional. We're not just spiritual beings. We are one being, and that includes the physical. Remember the example I used earlier on about communion? People were not dealing with the body of Christ properly and began to have physical consequences. Yeah, do you remember that analogy? What physical consequences were they having, son?
Some slept and died.
Yes.
And people got sick.
Yes.
And
people got weak. They got weak, sick, they got weak, they died. Physical consequences because they were treating the body of Christ anyhow. That would be like the finger poking the eye. Now, you've done that by accident before, sometime, and you know how painful it is. I've poked my jolly mouth with a fork once. And, I didn't mean to. It was a stupid spasm. Now, that's what happens sometimes when we have spasms, when we have spats, and when we just behave anyhow to each other, to one another. You might think, yeah, I won that battle of words, but you're hurting yourself by implication, and you're hurting the body of Christ. So you think about it, not only are you hurting yourself, you're hurting the body of Christ, and guess who is also part of the body of Christ that if you thought about it properly, you wouldn't want to hurt? Jesus. I don't think if you thought about it properly, you'd want to hurt him. But you do when you hurt me. And I do when I hurt you. Because when one part suffers, every part suffers. Guess what? He's a part of the body of Christ. Do you see Jesus slightly differently now? He's not sort of separate. In fact, the Bible teaches us that he's not cut off from the feeling of our infirmities. He's not separate from us. He's one of us. He's part of us. When I treat you badly, I treat him badly. Really, son, he feels it. And there are physical consequences as there are spiritual consequences and emotional consequences.
And we feel it ourselves as part of the body.
Yes. We are part of that body. He is part of that body. We are to have mutual interest and mutual care for one another and in one another. I am to invest in you. You are to invest in me. That's part of why I do this, folks. Not because I can't do anything else. That's part of why I bother to read and to study and to bring a word that is meaningful. Not because I don't have other books to read or something else to do. That's part of why I ask after your welfare. And I want to teach you and show you things that that will enhance your life. Because you know, the stronger you get, the stronger I am by implication. And the more pleased Jesus is with me and with you, because you're getting stronger. And when you weigh up all the different ramifications of this, it's just in all of our best interest to look after one another. Everyone has an important part to play. Then you should contribute to our well-being, our nourishment, and our growth. Because that's what body parts do to the body. We should all contribute to our well-being, to our growth, to our nourishment. So, my question will be, how and what do you bring to the table? That doesn't have to be answered here. It's one that will answer in prayer in a couple of minutes. What have you brought? What have you been bringing? How do you bring what you have, what you are? If you're an ear, you bring hearing to the church. You bring your voice, you bring speaking. If you're fingernails, you help to scratch itches and so on. And they're all equally important. I don't see myself as any more important than anybody else here. Honestly, I just see our roles differently. We just have different roles. Question is, what do you bring? What have you consciously thought of bringing? Now, very quickly, I know I mentioned another passage and we will close. I've said pretty much everything that passage says as well, but let's go to it. Romans chapter 12, please. Romans 12. Verse 3, for through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think. But I'll pause there for a sec. Not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think. So there is an ought to think. So you are to think of yourself, just not more highly than you ought to think. Because if you don't think of yourself, you don't know who you are and what you have and what you can bring. Right, so some people try to escape this by saying, no, I'm just a humble, child of God, servant of God. I don't think of myself. No, just say it's not more highly than you ought to. So you ought to, but not more highly than you ought to. Okay? But to think as to have sound judgment, use sound judgment, clear sound judgment, as God has allotted to each the measure of faith. That is, we're to think of ourselves soberly, moderately, and according to faith. Our thinking is to be informed by our relationship with God. according to faith. Our thinking is to be informed by our relationship with God, by our understanding of the Word of God. But do think of yourself. Self-assessment, self-evaluation. Who am I? Which body of Christ do I belong to? I want to ask these people who go from place to place. Where are you? Who are you? Even Peter and John, when they were released from prison, I think Acts chapter 4, the Bible says they went to their own company. Now, the church by that time had thousands of people already, at least 7,000 plus family members. Thousands of people already. But when they were released, where did they go? They went to their own company. They didn't go home, not to their own homes. They went to their own company. So they had a local company. So we need self-evaluation, self-assessment. Who am I? Where do I belong? Where is God planting me? Where has He placed me? Verse 4. For just as we have many members in one body and all the members don't have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. Let me read verse 5 from the Amplified. So we, numerous as we are one body in Christ, the Messiah, and individually we are parts one of another, mutually dependent on one another. Okay, we've talked about all that already. But that's just two witnesses. But the addition to this is the self-evaluation, the self-thinking, because the very next verse says, verse 6, since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, that's what we've been saying. We have gifts that differ. The ear works differently to the nose, differently to the mouth, differently to fingertips, differently to toes. And we could have a rap on that. We could make a whole song over it. You know, the neck bone works differently to the tailbone and so on. So the question is, what bone are you? And are you in place? What bone am I? Am I in place? Listen, I'm fairly confident. I'm very confident I'm in place. And that I'm doing most of what I'm supposed to do. Most. Bringing most of what I'm supposed to bring to this body. What about you? That is the question. That is the question that I would like us to answer as we come to prayer. Remembering that we share each other's joys and woes, even when we don't mean to. That's why sometimes we don't understand why we're having a bad time. So, you see, we can't always link the dots, you see, folks. We can't always join the dots of where our problems are emanating from. Because they're not always there to be joined. Because your problems are my problems, actually, Tina. It may not seem like it, but they are. And so if I want to share in them, you should let me. Because that way you're easier, I'm easier, and then we all do better. David's problems are my problems. Mine are his. And not just physical problems, all kinds. We mutually depended on each other. That's why sometimes when I'm having a bad time and I'm just, you know, fighting depression for no reason, or things just seem, I seem to be intricate. I think, and I've thought to myself, I'm not doing anything wrong per se and whatnot. It's probably you lot having problems and giving me a bad time by implication, by connection. Do you see what I mean? It's not always you that's causing your problem. You are part of a larger body. And when the arm hurts, the leg feels it. And you may not know where the pain's coming from. That's why we ought to be in fellowship. Fellowship is described as intimacy that is total, an intermingling of intimacy that is total. If we're in fellowship, we can pick up on each other's pains and hurts and contribute and help whichever way we can, materially, physically, spiritually, emotionally, in counseling, in whatever, we pick it up because we're always in touch with one another and we're open and transparent to each other. That's how bodies are meant to function. Unfortunately, many aspects of church today don't function like that. We function like what we call ourselves a church service. Like we had last night here, we had a food service. And they come and sit and they expect someone to serve because they're paying. or because they've been invited to come. It's a service. And even they had some measure of fellowship yesterday. They talked with each other. Sometimes in some churches, half of them don't talk to each other. And half of them will...
They don't want to see each other.
We will not be that kind of church, bless God. That's why I say you're either in or you're out. If you're in, behave like you're in, act like you're in, let the word of God teach you how to be in, and that's by looking after me. And that's by me looking after you in every sense of the word. I pray for you all. I pray for you regularly. And I hope that you sometimes at least pray for me. Once a quarter, once a year will do. Ask me how I'm doing. I want to ask you how you're doing, and I expect the truth. Because if you don't tell me the truth, I don't know how to bring what I am to bear about your situation. And we all suffer. We all suffer. And Jesus feels your pain too, because it's part of the body. Right now, for the last few days or so, there's a tension strain around the right side of my neck and head here. I'm going to ask you all to pray for me this morning. And it just comes and goes. I don't know. I've been trying to put my finger on what am I doing wrong? Am I sleeping wrong? Am I doing my exercises wrong? Am I doing, you know? You just don't know which part of the body is affecting that place. There's a time I went to the doctor and said, I'm having a pain. It was right there and there, part of my buttock and my, what is this? I was almost paralyzed and crippled. And he said, it's back pain. There's a sciatic nerve apparently that runs from the back of your neck all the way to that on the left side. And many people fall foul of it. It may be damaged anywhere along the route, but you will often localize that pain there and there. If it worked, that's right. When one part suffers, every part may suffer. In fact, the Bible doesn't say may, says every part suffers. Every part is inconvenienced. You don't always know which part of the body is causing your pain. It could be you, most likely you yourself, causing your own pain. But the teaching of the scriptures is that we all cause each other unnecessary pain, and we can together actually fix most of this by being all that we can be in the body and bringing it to bear. So let's pray. Let's think now, who am I? What do I bring to this house called Water Springs, this body of Christ called Water Springs? What do I bring? Doesn't have to be anything fancy, but identify one thing, and that may grow, and you may identify other things later as well. But let's pray now. Let's ask God to open the eyes of our understanding, to open our hearts, to see who we are, where we are. It's God that planted you here. It's God that places the body parts in their right place. If He's planted you here, what has He planted you as? If the Holy Spirit has welded you into this body, what part has He welded you in? And together we can achieve what God has designed for this body. Together. Pray in the name of Jesus. Together we can achieve it. Together we can be a healthier, stronger body. Together.